Welcome to Inspired with Megan Alexander. Everyone, welcome. I'm Megan. So glad you are joining me today. This is going to be a fun one. We are in Nashville, Tennessee today for this podcast at Audio Productions, one of my favorite places to record. And my guest today is Tim Timmons, an American musician, singer, and songwriter originally from California. His debut album, Cast My Cares, came out June 2013. His latest album, Awake Our Souls, is available now. And he was recently nominated for a huge award that we're going to talk about that in just a bit. He's also a chef, blogger, TV host, husband, and father of four.
Dancer, super good looking. Keep going. Exactly. I feel like...
I know.
Sorry, no.
Well, and Tim overcame cancer, a big story to share there. I love that Tim says this. Life for him has always been an adventure, but for the first time, he feels awake enough to actually live it. Everybody, please welcome Tim Timmons. I'm so glad to have you here.
Thank you.
I got a chuckle as I read your resume there, because when I first met you, and listen, I wish Inside Edition covered more music.
Yeah.
Those of you that know, work as a reporter for Inside Edition part-time, I wish we covered more music. We don't. And so when I first met Tim, I just knew him as the guy at the bus stop that also had sweats on.
Yep. True. So we're neighbors, which is so great. And so we would always be there in our most hottest outfits.
That's right.
Just wake up and just go, Lord, how do I look so awesome today? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah. That's what we do.
I think it's those moments where you look at another parent and go, hang in there. Yes, you can do it. We can survive this. Yes. We're doing our best. You're doing your best.
Yes.
Two thumbs up. But I also knew Tim originally as Tim Timmons, because my oldest son, Chase, met your kids and adores your children and said to me, Mom, can I go play with Tim Timmons' kids? Yeah. And literally for weeks in our house, you were Tim Tim.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a strong name. And Tim Timmons, just in and of itself, is just one of those, like, I mean, everybody. I said it this morning at the gym. Somebody said, so what's your name? I'm like, Tim Timmons. They kind of looked at me like, but what's your real name? You know, and it's like, no, it's really that dumb. It's really that dumb.
My great grandfather's name was Pete Peterson.
Really?
Yes.
We could go bowling, that guy. He's probably not here anymore.
And I knew.
Sorry for bringing that up.
No, it's all good.
I feel terrible.
Wonderful, wonderful man. And I knew a Canute Knutson in high school. If for some reason, Canute, you're listening. So I think it's cool. And listen, you've got such a story to share. And I need to now be professional and get it together, because we have so much to talk about.
Super professional, which is great.
But don't you love kids and the fact that they can bring us together?
That is a great part.
It is such a fun part of life, and I adore your kids, and they're wonderful, wonderful kiddos.
Well,
and we're going to get some advice from Tim on how to raise wonderful children. But
books and books. Keep going.
Yeah, lots of prayer and some wine. So, Tim, first, let's talk about take everybody back. When did you decide that music was something you wanted to do for a living?
Oh gosh, I would say I started drums at 7 and started playing kind of piano and guitar at 11. And I fell in love with it. It was something that I loved and I was good at. And so I kind of always dreamed about playing music, but that's kind of one of those just dreams, you know? And then I went through high school and played music, and actually got to go to Washington, D.C. I was asked to go and sing in front of the senators, I think, and a bunch of them at the National Day of Prayer. It was.
Oh, nice.
And I was just this young dork that somehow got to go and sing in front of all these people. And I think I peed my pants twice that day, which is great. And as a little high school student, you know, that was awesome. But that was kind of my first thought of, like, man, I could maybe do this. Like, I'm decent and I could maybe do this. So
what did you sing that day?
Oh, I sang this old, it's called the song called Listen to Our Hearts. It was by Jeff Moore in the Distance. I don't know how we got there. I don't know who paid who or what happened. I didn't have any money. But yeah, so I started there. And then just through college, was always playing music and in bands. And then our friends, their band called Switchfoot, they actually just took off. We were all playing in the same spot in San Diego. And they just took off. And we're like, man, we're playing right next to those guys. How cool is that? And then just went through life. And then I've always been writing songs. Because really, that's how I express myself. It's one of the great ways that I get to express myself is, or my prayers, or whatever I get to do in life, is through writing songs.
That is
And awesome. Somehow, other people started connecting with these songs that I was doing. And then, you know, a whole bunch of different things. But then 6 years ago, I signed a record deal out here with Sony, which is Provident, which is a kind of the Christian Sony in Nashville. And so it's been just a whirlwind ever since.
So you just mentioned San Diego.
Yes.
You are a Californian.
Yes.
Now in Nashville.
Yes. Yes. And it's hot today. Yeah, we're from Orange County, California, which is Southern California. And then I went all the way to San Diego, which is an hour south to go to college. And that's where I met my wife, who's a total babe of almost 20 years. I mean, she's not 20 years old, but we've been married for 20 years. Yeah.
Hillary is amazing.
Yeah.
And what college did you go to?
Point Loma. Mm-hmm. Down in San Diego, one of the ugliest campuses in America.
He is being sarcastic,
Completely sarcastic.
My best friend Cindy went to Point Loma. I went to Westmont, which is in Santa Barbara, California. Oh, and
I didn't know that.
Yes. And I was constantly making trips down to Point Loma.
Yeah,
it's so beautiful. And that San Diego is just a neat town.
Yep. Yeah. So maybe we can do another one of these there. Is that cool?
Yeah, absolutely.
Next one, San Diego, everybody.
On the beach.
Yep.
Are you a surfer?
I am. I've surfed my whole life. And then I got here and then you kind of just stare at yourself. And I look at my surfboards or my paddle boards. I'm like, well, someday you'll see the water again, you know? So
you met Hillary at Point Loma?
I did.
Do you remember that first encounter?
Yes, I do. I was a soccer player. And so I went there early and she was a total babe. She was an RA in my dorm, you know, resident assistant in my dorm. And she was there early. I was there early for soccer. And I just was like, that girl is such a babe. I mean, she was just amazing. And I was just this dorky freshman. She was older. And then that year, her boyfriend, who was the ASB president the year before, he asked me, he said, Tim, would you do a drum roll in front of the whole chapel for the top 10 reasons why Hillary should marry me? I'm like, dude, you're scoring number one. But yes, of course. So just Hillary and I and this guy. He's a really nice guy. And I'm up there doing the drum roll for top 10 reasons why she should marry this guy. And so then she said yes. And then 2 months later, he dogged her. And thank you. I'm so grateful. If you're listening, thank you.
Whoa.
Thank you.
I had no idea of this story, folks. Yeah, no idea.
So, but it was a pretty great story. So then we started dating 3 years later because I was just so in love with her. And then check us out.
That is awesome.
Yep.
Well, you both are really neat parents. I love watching you interact with your kids. And Hillary dragged my booty to the gym once because we both just need to get there more often. But that's a whole nother story. But you have said to me before, and Hillary has said this too, that you feel like your career took off later in life in terms of music. So I'm curious, what kept you going in the beginning? Because a lot of people, here we are in Nashville, Tennessee, Music City.
Yeah.
A lot of people want it to happen instantly.
Yeah.
You leave college and here we go. And, you know, this is my path. So what kept you going, kept you inspired to stay involved with music?
That's a great question. And I don't have a really good answer for that other than I think I gave up 7 or 8 years ago. I literally gave up trying. I mean, I've been writing in Nashville for 9 or 10 years now as a songwriter. And so I still write for other people and write with people, but I was always trying so hard to hope somebody would say, hey, man, Tim, those are real great songs, or you're a great artist, or, you know, wanting these people here to really pursue me and, you know, get a record deal.
Mm-hmm.
And 8 years ago, I remember really clearly this change of my heart going, I'm done trying to be awesome. Like, this life is not about me, apparently, you know? And I just decided I'm not going to open any more doors. If God is actually real, not just like a silly religious thing that we talk about, but if he's actually real and actually at work in all things, if that's even true, then what if he actually knows what's best? And so I just decided I'm going to do an experiment and I'm just going to hang out with him and let him open doors and I will keep writing songs, keep working really hard, but I'm not going to strive anymore because it's making me exhausted. And so I kind of got to that place about 8 years ago and I wrote a song and it's on my first record, Provident Record. And the end of it, the chorus is, so I surrender all these desires and dreams and all these things that I have. Would you let my kingdom fall? So in a sense, I'm always like trying to protect my kingdom. And like, if I had a kingdom of Tim, it would always be trying to like puff that thing up and protect it and polish it so that everybody would see how awesome the kingdom of Tim is. But if Jesus is real, he's basically saying, hey, my kingdom's actually way cooler than yours, and I will hook you up in so many ways. Just let's just hang out together and let me do these things. So basically, I made an experiment 8 years ago and said, I'm done opening doors. I mean, I opened doors for my wife and all that kind of stuff, but like literal figurative doors of like trying to schmooze my way into anything. Yeah. I'm done. And so once I did that, I wrote a record about that. Mm-hmm. And that's the record that every label in Nashville then came to me at 30, what was I, 36 or something like that, and said, hey, we want to sign you. I'm like, now? I don't need you people anymore. So it's just, it's funny how I've yet to open a door since those days, and doors fly open like crazy everywhere I am.
You know, that's really interesting because you talk about surrendering, and you're obviously talking about your faith,
yeah,
which is important to you and is important to me too. I also feel like this is in harmony with people that say, you got to enjoy the ride in life. Mm. And if you want to be doing your passion, living out your passion, working in the industry that you feel called to work in,
right,
that you feel is your destiny.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to surrender to whatever it is and just enjoy life because it goes by so fast. Totally. It sounds like you got to a place where you said, I gotta enjoy this too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, you mentioned it earlier in my amazing bio, which I'm going to hope that you can just send to me just so I can read that every day.
We didn't even get to half of it, folks. Okay, yeah, stay with us.
It's cray cray, everybody.
There's a lot more coming.
Yeah, again, the dancing part, I feel like you could have done a little better with. But this 16 years ago, I was given 5 years to live.
Well, and that was exactly my next question.
Okay, perfect. So 16 years ago, I was given 5 years to live. And
do the math, people. 16 years ago,
right,
you were given 5 years to live.
Yes, I'm calculating. And it's some really great math. I'm really thankful. So I was diagnosed with an incurable cancer, and there are tumors all over my liver at that point, in my intestine, gallbladder, and lymph system. And liver, I said all those things. And, you know, I've had surgeries. There's still four tumors on my liver at the moment. But I literally keep waking up every single day. I mean, that's like the greatest gift. I don't care what spiritual side we're on. Who cares? I woke up today. I mean, again, I woke up today. And whoever's listening right now, just for fun, you actually woke up today.
Mm.
Like, that is a crazy reality that we so often forget. And I think most of us have this deal where you're driving in your car and all of a sudden you almost get an accident. And you're like, oh, I am so thankful today for life, you know? Mm-hmm. And then about 10 minutes later, we forget because somebody cuts us off and something happens, right? I think the gift of pain and sorrow in my life has been perspective. And it just keeps growing as I keep going, okay, I woke up again today. And God, if you're real, which I actually believe that he is, you're at work and all these things. That's what I believe. And so I keep just leaning into like, what if it's actually true? Mm. And if it is, then I don't know, I'm here for a reason today. So it's been pretty amazing. I wrote a blog called The Gift of Cancer, which just sounds like the dumbest, you know, most absurd blog post ever. But I wouldn't trade this sorrow for anything. I'm willing to be healed and ready at any point. But today I woke up again and I have a different perspective because of it.
Wow. And you say the gift of cancer was perspective.
The gift of cancer is perspective. Yes. Yeah. The gift of any kind of sorrow, we have the option to either damn it or actually lean into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not a fan of cancer. I will wear t-shirts all day saying cancer is stupid, you know. So I'm not a fan of cancer in and of itself, but of the breaking of my kingdom, in a sense of like thinking that it's all about me. Mm-hmm. This is not about me. And if this life is all about me, it's kind of wasted in my view. So
I'm curious, was it a moment when you got your cancer diagnosis, was it an instant perspective or did it take a while to get there? Did you have depression and wonder what the future held?
Yeah, it's a great question.
What was the process?
For me, it became this like, it really came down to this decision of going, okay, I've got to make a decision here because everybody's coming to me with a new healing, you know, if touch leather with your tongue 8 times and pick your nose 5 times, then you'll be healed. Trust me. You know, I mean, everybody has their ailment or their like fix for cancer. And I just decided either God is God or he's not. And either I'm him or I'm not. And ultimately, like, what if he's good or he's not? And I had to like make these decisions and say, I'm going to actually be found living my life mm-hmm. as though these things are true.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where it came down to me. So for Hillary, my wife, and she's fine with me saying this, she had a 5-year battle, like a full on battle, like the bird kind of battle to God, you know, just saying, you screwed me. Like, this is not cool. What just happened here? And so it was a long journey for her. Mm-hmm. So I think everybody in these circumstances all have their own journeys to go through, you know, and the wife has a different thing than I do and the kids. And so to see where she is today is really beautiful to watch how she was actually changed in that and so much more beautiful today than she was back then. So,
wow.
Yeah.
What have doctors said to you that 5 years went by? And you're still here. Like, what did doctors say?
Yeah, I mean, they say your dancing is incredible. I mean, they keep coming back. Is that okay? No,
I love your sense of humor.
Thank you. Always inappropriate.
So important in life.
It's something. Doctors have said a lot of things. I mean, they right now, my doctor's like, well, you look really good. Those tumors, my tumors haven't grown in 1.5 years, which is just awesome.
Wow.
So again, I celebrate today. If they call me and say, Tim, your cancer's totally done and you are healed, I will celebrate a bit, but I'll also just go, if I celebrate too much about that, I mean, how many stories have we heard of people coming back? Things come back. And not trying to live like a doomsday thing, but just of going, that's not going to be my greatest joy is that my cancer's gone. My greatest joy is that I woke up again today.
Yeah.
So if it's here or not, I don't really care. And I'm going to be super excited when it's all gone. But today is our greatest gift. I mean, Jesus was pretty smart. That guy, whatever you think about him, whatever you think about Christians, I don't care about that. But whatever you think about Jesus, that guy was pretty smart. So I stick closer to Jesus than any religious thing necessarily. But he's like, hey, don't worry about tomorrow. Just deal with the things I put in front of you today.
Yeah.
And man, it has just changed the way that I deal with everything.
Yeah. Wow. Inspiration for anyone that was told, this is going to happen, and you proved it wrong. It did.
Yeah, and I wish I could say that, like, man, my sit-ups and my whatever have done all this stuff, and I've beat it. I don't know why I'm still here. Like, I don't know why I get to be with you today, which is such an honor to do this. Honestly, thank you for asking me to do
it. It's fun for me.
But blessing, I don't know why I get to do this and why I woke up today. I have no reason why I did this. I literally have not eaten more Wheaties than other people or whatever. I woke up again, and some people did not wake up today. I mean, there are people today that did not wake up that had the same faith as I.
Right.
But for some reason today, I woke up again. So
right.
I don't know what to do with all that. I don't have great, like, here's my religious scripture for that. I just know that I woke up today, and whoever's listening, you woke up today, and there might be something bigger for us today to see and to learn and perspective to gain.
I completely agree, which is why I wanted to do this podcast in the first place. We have to talk about things like this and encourage one another and inspire one another just share our stories. This is your story.
Yeah.
You are living your story. This is simply what is going on with you.
Yeah.
And if you can encourage one other person today.
And what's funny is I travel, I'm on tour a lot of my life. I've been on tour a lot of my past 6 years. And people always ask, hey, what's your story? Mm-hmm. And what they really want me to tell them is cancer. They want me to make cancer the story in a sense. But you've got other questions which are dealing with the actual story of what is my story is actually perspective. It is not cancer. Because whatever you're going through today, if it's divorce or cancer or anything hard, any of your sorrows today, that is not who you are, nor is that your story. Mm. But I think the perspective through those things is our story and how we actually live those out. So,
that's good.
A little clarification for me, as you know, people ask that all the time. Like, tell us your story. And I go, well, I think you mean cancer, but that is a dumb story.
There's so much more going on.
Yeah.
You have a blog called 10,000 Minutes.
Yep.
I see this as being intentional with our time. What are we going to do with our minutes in life?
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Sure. So everybody, you can get out your Google Docs right now or your YouTubes and look this up. But there are 10,080 minutes in a week. So you can check my facts, but I'm pretty right on this one, which is good. So 10,080 minutes every single week. And I'm in a world where I'm with a lot of Christian people, if you will, and people that are a part of that faith. And a lot of them go to a gathering on Sunday morning, maybe, right? Mm-hmm. We call it going to church, even though that's actually not even what Jesus would say. But we talk about going to church. You can't go to church. It's who we are. But ultimately, there are 10,080 minutes in a week. So normally, people, if you're really holy, you go somewhere and gather somewhere, Catholic or Mass or whatever, for 80 minutes in the week, which is awesome. To gather with other people that are in the same heart as we are, and pursuing similar, you know, pursuing Jesus together in a sense with this faith.
Fellowship, community.
Which is awesome. It's such a beautiful thing. But that's 80 minutes of our week, which leaves 10,000 other minutes during the week. Mm-hmm. And I guess I've been like a professional 80-minuter my whole life. I've been like awesome at the 80 minutes. Like, try to beat me. I can quote more scriptures. I'm awesome. Like, serious. I'm awesome in those 80 minutes. But then get me outside of the 80 minutes and there are 10,000 minutes. And that's when somebody cuts me off the road. I want to tell them they're number one. And I would say I'm not practicing what Jesus has invited us into. Yeah. And I just kind of noticed that Christians aren't really, people don't like them too much. I mean, in the normal part of our world, people aren't like, man, those are real great people. And as I travel the country, I go, man, we have a lot of great religious people. But I don't know if a lot of people really look like Jesus. Mm. And Jesus is awesome. Not many people have problems with Jesus. Just have a problem with some of his people that may not look like him, you know? And so I've just been trying to figure out, what does it look like for me to actually represent Jesus? Not a religion, not a religious-based thing, but like literally look like him to my neighbors. Mm-hmm. On the street when somebody cuts me off, or at the grocery store, or whatever. So the idea with 10,000 minutes, if I've already lost you, come back. The idea with 10,000 minutes is practicing a principle every single week. And I'm a fan of Jesus, and so I practice his principles. So like one of them, you'll dig this one. So one of them was on praying for your enemy. Ooh. Okay, so how many of us listening right now actually have had somebody that you go, you know what, that person's my enemy. Or if they just cut you off on the road, and you want to tell them something, that person is kind of like your enemy.
Yeah.
So I had, I have a son, I have four kids, which Megan knows well. And one of them came to me and he's like, Dad, this kid, he calls me fatty all the time and he steals my water at school. And I'm like, okay, tell me what bus stop that kid's at, because I will take him out. Like, he's going down, that kid. I was so pissed. I was like, because I was called fatty my whole life as a kid and whatever. And so all projections happening in my own life. And it hit me as I said, buddy, I want to tell you to hit this kid in the face. Like, literally just sock that kid at lunchtime. But remember what we're practicing this week? We're practicing praying for enemies this week. And so I think that this kid may not even change this week, but you and I, our hearts are going to actually start changing this week. Whether he changes or not, we're going to just start doing this. So every night we started praying for this kid, and I had to do it during the day because I was not happy with this kid.
You were fired up.
Oh my gosh. I don't even want to say the kid's name out loud. And then, so we just started praying for this kid, and the end of the week, Noah comes up. There's his name. My son's name. And he comes up and he says, Dad, I did it. And I'm like, you hit him? He said, no. He called me this name, and I said, don't call me that again, and give me my water back, please.
Good for him.
And it was just one of those like successes.
Yes.
Where instead of just being a religious dad and saying, hey, man, we should just remember to pray for your enemies. And then we all go along our week, right? And we actually forget to practice what we actually believe.
Yes.
We practice this thing and it changed me as dad because I was so mad at this little kid. Yet every time I'm getting mad at this kid, even now.
Sure.
I'm just like, I'm going to pray for that kid.
Listen, that is something that adults need to hear, just kids, right? And I'm thinking, you know, as you're sharing this, I'm thinking of one of my favorite quotes, character is who you are in the dark. Mm. Not just who you are on Sunday or on Sunday morning. Yeah. Who are you during the week? Yeah. That's what you're talking about here is, are you consistently the same person, trying to be a better person, treating people as well on Sunday morning as other times during the week? I mean, that's a universal message of kindness and compassion.
And I have not. I'm like more admitting that Tim Timmons.
It's tough.
I'm awesome on Sunday mornings. I will smile your face off. But sure. Like, if something happens, you do something to me, I will like, it hurts my feelings and I will go to a place that does not look like the person that I say that I follow.
Sure. Yeah.
So listen, practicing has been like this revolutionary thing in my heart and changed me. So
yes.
Hence 10,000 minutes.
Ah, I love that. Guys, please check it out. There's so much to talk about. Talk about a pivot here. Tim has a side project called Timmons Pantry Raid.
Yes, get that R in there. Timmons Pantry Raid.
Timmons Pantry Raid.
Yep.
Which is showcasing your love of cooking. Did you name it that?
Did
you come up with that?
We did, yeah. Yeah, it was a total joke. And then at some point, it was like, that's funny. And so...
Do you really run around, fling open the doors in people's kitchens, look and see what's in their pantry?
The idea with running around in pantry raid was awesome.
Don't come to my kitchen, please, until we've cleaned it up.
Yeah, no, the idea is I go to different, you know, celebrities, people's homes, and I
raid
surprise
their
them,
pantry.
And I raid their pantry, and I find something to cook within their house. So, you know, that it's just something that I love to do is actually... Yeah. Cooking and finding something and being creative with that thing. So really, it's more of just a vehicle for great conversation is what it is.
You're in the process of filming it right now. Coming soon.
Yes.
Yep. Coming soon.
Yep.
Ooh,
yep.
Stay tuned for that, guys. You wrote a song that was recently nominated for a Dove Award.
Yes.
And if you're not familiar with the Dove Awards, I did do one of my first podcast interviews with Michael Oakes, who is a Jewish singer-songwriter. Hi, my husband just walked into the studio.
He's so hot. Let's be real honest.
Hi, babe. I'm getting nervous, guys. Do you ever feel that way when like a family member is around, like your mom or something, and you're going, oh my goodness. I'm going to try to focus here.
But he is very hot, and we work out every morning together, and it's a little embarrassing what he does to everybody in that gym.
He's a good man. Maybe we'll do a podcast on physical fitness and taking care of yourself and all that Spartan races, because that's what my hubby does. Yep. But so, Tim, you were recently nominated for a Dove Award, the big award, Song of the Year. For your song, Even If.
Yeah.
Your reaction to hearing you were nominated?
Pretty surprised. I mean, that was not something that I was looking forward to or like really hoping for. Honestly, there are a lot of songs that you write, but I've written hundreds and hundreds of songs, but this one I knew would just help people. And the fact that it's keeps rising the charts, it's crazy. And I'm just so honored. So
when you wrote it, did you think it would have the effect that it's having on people and get the attention it's getting?
No, I did not. I wrote this song with a girl named Crystal Lewis years ago, like 5 years ago. And who's an amazing artist in and of herself. But she didn't take it for her record. Sony didn't want it for our record. Probably didn't want it for my record. And I'm like, you guys are crazy. This song is really powerful. And then I was with one of my best friends. His name is Bart. And he's there's a band called Mercy Me. So there's a song called I Can Only Imagine. You know, you probably have heard that song.
I think everyone has heard
actually,
that song.
There's a movie coming out, by the way, that's going to be really powerful of that whole story. But
yes.
Bart was in my room. We were about to do a podcast, actually. And we were sitting there and...
Wait, you've done this before?
No, not with you. I feel like this got really weird. And we were about to start.
You're going
to
critique me now.
Yeah. No, we were about to do it. And he just broke down crying about his son with diabetes. You know, just going through how hard it's been and... About a year before, I had this sense in my heart that this song was actually for him. Just, I don't know. I just had that. And I thought maybe it's just bad salsa or something. I just had that thought. And when we're in, and I never say that kind of stuff to my friends because they don't want to open doors. I don't open doors. That's not my job anymore. In my studio, he basically said the chorus verbatim. Like he said the same words. My God is able, and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. And he basically like said like this, the idea of this chorus verbatim. And I just said, man, can I just play this chorus? And I just at the piano just played it to him. And he said, man, can we write that? Or is it done? I said, no, let's finish it. So we ended up finishing the song, and I just thought, man, how cool that we got to have this moment together and pray this song together.
Yes.
And then now it is now, I think next week, it just took the award for no song has ever gone 18 weeks at number one, and it just beat all of Christian music, which is such a crazy thing.
Wow.
My favorite part of the story is that I did not open that door.
Yeah.
I've just like gone, nope, it's not my job. And then all of a sudden now I've got number one song in history of Christian music.
18 weeks at number one. We're recording this podcast in the middle of August.
Yeah.
Listen, I heard this song performed at my church a couple weekends ago, and my husband got out his phone. He's like, I got to send this to Tim, because a gal in our church who sounds just like Trisha Yearwood, she has such a great voice, she performed your song.
Oh, that's cool.
And I whispered to my husband, is that a moment when you've really made it, when your song is being performed in other churches? Mm. Is that like your song being sung in a karaoke bar? Is it that moment?
I guess so. I guess so. For me, it's when I've written hundreds and hundreds of songs, if not thousands, but you know certain sometimes that you go, this one's actually going to help people. It's not just going to climb the charts. It's going to help people. So that's what's fun about this one, is I think it's very encouraging.
Yeah.
So.
And is it cool to hear other voices sing that song?
Oh, totally.
I mean, she put a totally different spin on it because she's got this country voice, but the lyrics are so powerful.
Yeah.
Can I quickly ask you, what is your go-to karaoke song?
Gosh, I don't do karaoke.
What?
Because I feel like if you kind of can sing, which I can kind of sing.
No professional singers
do. It just feels like, I don't know.
Because you silence the room and everybody goes, oh.
Well, I surely would not silence the room, but it's maybe more fun for me to watch because I sing my whole life.
Yeah. You don't have one. Okay. If you had to get up there on a dare, you had to, what would be your one song?
It would probably be a Disney song like, let's get down to business and defeat the Huns. You know, like, what is that song? Yeah. You know that song.
Wait, what Disney
song Mulan.
Is that?
It's Mulan. Duh, Mulan.
It is?
Yeah, I just think those songs are so fun to sing.
I feel like I know my Disney songs.
It's hard.
Give me one more line.
Oh, this is from battle's raging for us to make the Huns.
I haven't seen Mulan enough.
What I wanted was, yes!
Thank you, Kyle. Our engineer also has a beautiful voice.
See?
Are you going to ask me what my go-to song is?
Here's one question I have for you. What would be your one go-to song for karaoke?
Heartbreaker, Pat Benatar, baby.
Do you want to give us a little bit of that right now?
No.
Just a little.
Your love is like a tidal wave.
Oh, that's right. Okay. That's right.
80s, baby.
Gosh.
But listen, I think that is a moment.
Next podcast is going to be all that, girl.
Oh,
you just do that.
Oh, my goodness. Sometime we will go there. Okay. Listen, our time is short, but I've got some rapid fire questions for you.
Hit me with your best shot. See what I did there?
Oh, you did.
Yep.
Fire away, okay?
Yep.
We have run into each other in the airport before.
Yes.
We are both on the road all the time.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite airport?
I think Dallas, because I'm one of those nerds that has one of those, I can get into the special club there.
Ooh, one of those people.
Yep, don't worry about it. When you travel as much, you kind of need to do that. And they have showers, and there are more shower heads per capita in this one shower. I mean, there are literally like 18 places where you're getting hit with water. So that makes my heart real happy.
That makes life just a little bit better.
Yep.
Dallas Airport, on the plane, window or aisle?
Oh, duh. Aisle and a C seat for sure. So I definitely want to be on the left side of the plane, because then my right arm can actually type.
Oh.
Keep going. Fire away.
You get work done. Woo. How do you like your coffee?
I don't drink coffee.
Okay. What would be the beverage of choice then?
Water. How's that for a health guy? No, I think LaCroix or kind of that stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm into kombucha right now, which I know whatever on that stuff, and I thought it tastes like whatever before, but I'm kind of addicted right now. Go on.
Okay. Favorite holiday to celebrate?
Oh. I was trying to think of something in Mulan. whatever celebrating thing they're celebrating. I don't know if I have one. Oh, gosh. I guess Christmas.
Me too. You know we love Christmas at our house. Decorations go up November 1st.
That's the truth.
Person you'd love to sing a duet with. Anybody.
Oh, not cool. Not a cool question.
Anyone. Absolutely anyone.
Celine Dion.
Ooh, yeah.
I think she's got the most killer voice ever.
You'd want to hang with her on that blasting high note?
No, I'd probably just
note.
Keep watching her the whole time, you know?
Favorite dessert?
Actually, I'm going to change my answer. It would be Willie Nelson, because his voice is no good, and it would make mine like sound a little better. Okay.
Hey now.
Favorite dessert? No, he's like, that guy's a legend, but I'm just saying. Okay. Favorite dessert? I do love a soft cookie.
Chocolate chip?
Yep.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Favorite tradition with your kids? Just something you love to do with them?
We dance a lot in the house.
Nice.
We do a lot of dancing.
Got to have those dance parties.
Yep.
If you win.
Clothes are optional. Keep going. Keep going. The neighbors have seen some amazing things. Go on.
Yeah. If you have
If you win,
yes,
the Dove Award, ooh, will your speech be sappy, serious, goofy? What will it be?
How awesome is this? I have a show that night in Nashville.
Ooh.
So I might make it there. I'm gonna, right after my show, it's this writers in the round thing. So right after my show, I'm going to like race over there and I may or may not be there.
Okay.
But I'm just hoping for the Grammys. So the Grammys, then I'll do it.
What about if they suddenly say must be present to win?
Well, then I will not have a Dove Award. It'll be great. Bart will take it and he'll say something really great.
I've emceed those award shows. Nothing as big as the Dove Awards, but a smaller party where the owner says, please tell people they must be present to win. So.
It's like a raffle.
I know. You might just need to get there. No. Good luck at the Dove Awards. Take home the gold, baby.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, whatever it's made of, it's going to be great.
And you know what? No matter what, I think you taught us today to surrender and enjoy life and to treat life as the precious gift that it is. And we all have a story, multiple stories.
Totally.
And something to share.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that you're here talking about all that you're talking about and living your life and raising your kids in the way that you are so that they can interact with my kids and they will be better kids because of it. That's inspiration. And I like to end these podcasts by saying, you know, do you have a favorite quote or favorite piece of advice, something that you just hold on to in life that keeps you going?
I don't know if it's the best, but I think just thinking about it, one of my favorite quotes from a friend is he always says this at the end of every time we talk is love well. And that's how he ends is our conversations, which is really beautiful.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, everybody, please check out timtimmonsmusic.com. His album is on iTunes, in stores. He, by the way, has his own channel on Pandora. How does that come about?
It's just because I'm hot. literally, I'm boiling hot. No,
That's pretty cool.
That's a moment. Thankfully.
That is a moment.
Yep.
Look it up, folks. Thank you, Tim. And let's just end this podcast by encouraging our viewers to join in and love well. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hey, until next time, stay inspired.